Welcome to Market Square, presented by Leo Burnett Worldwide. Market Square, where you'll learn about fundamental human truths and up-to-the-minute trends that shape how and why marketers and people connect. Because if it matters to people, it should matter to brands. You'll learn about the people, technology, and ideas shaping not only advertising, but entertainment and society itself. Here is Market Square, where people connect, presented by Leo Burnett Worldwide.
Hello, everybody. I'm Mark Landsberg, the head of corporate strategy for Leo Burnett Worldwide and the president of ARC Worldwide, which is Leo Burnett's global marketing services network. And we're here today to talk about wildfire brands and marketing in Asia. We're going to talk a little bit about the trends, the technologies, and what's really happening in marketing across Asia. And specifically, we're going to talk about wildfire brands, ideas that spread and sell. And we've got three terrific panelists here that are joining me today. First up is Michelle Cristella-Green. Michelle is a president of Leo Burnett Asia Pacific. Michelle has lived and worked in Asia for nearly 20 years, speaks Chinese and Japanese, and one of the world's leading experts in marketing in Asia. So, Michelle, welcome and thank you for joining us.
Thanks.
Also have Jess Greenwood, who's a deputy editor of Contagious magazine, Contagious, which is really becoming the touchstone for the world's great innovations in marketing, is a terrific magazine, online journal editor and arbiter of good and bad marketing. And it's really a delight to have you join us. So thanks, Jess, for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
And we've got Nick Fillingham. Nick is got one of my favorite titles I've ever heard. He is the enthusiast evangelist for Microsoft Southeast Asia. Nick's primary role is identifying new products and evangelizing them both inside and outside of the Microsoft network. And we'll talk a little bit more with Nick about how he sees new technologies and the role that they play in marketing in Asia. So, Nick, thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Well, why don't we get started, Michelle? Let's start with you. One of the things that we've been talking about is wildfire brands in general, and particularly in Asia. If we define a wildfire brand as a brand that engages and spreads and sells, which is, by the way, something that we'll be talking about. Everybody on the call today will be joining and, in fact, speaking at the Engage event hosted by Leo Burnett and Contagious, September 26 and 27 in Singapore. Michelle, tell us a little bit, just generally, your view of wildfire brands across Asia and new trends that you're seeing in marketing in the region.
Well, if we're looking at wildfire brands or trends across Asia, you know, I would say that in some ways it's still really young, and yet there are some really exciting things happening. I'm in Japan right now, and I've just been reading about Uniqlo, which is the Japanese casual wear designer. And they have stores throughout Japan, and you know they also have stores in the UK, Hong Kong, and Korea, and they've been around for a while. But what they've got up right now is a UniClock website, which distributes a free UniClock blog part, a blog part that is a clock function, and it's four Japanese girls doing what they call a clock dance to this original music. And basically, people around the world have been downloading this and pasting it into their blogs. And then you can go to this world map, and it shows you, like, how many people in that country have pasted the clock into their blog, and then you can actually get into their list of blog links in the country. And I think that's something really, really exciting for this brand, which is sort of the Japanese equivalent of Gap in over here. And another brand that's doing something really interesting right now is Hewlett-Packard, where they've just launched something called HPToyRama.com. And they're kicking off a contest that asks for digital animators across Asia to create, design, and direct short animated skits that are using high-performance workstations and graphics tools. And what's really cool about this is the way that they brought in DreamWorks as their partners. And this is something that they've launched out from Singapore. So it's an online competition for digital animators. And the site has just opened up, but their page views and visits are going really fast, and they are also being talked about a lot in the blogs. The winners get HP software, but they also get a chance to tour the DreamWorks facility at the U.S. So those are two things that are sort of happening right here as we speak in Asia.
You know, Michelle, it's great. I've actually seen that Toyrama site. And for our listeners, if you have a moment, you should point your browser there, I believe. Do you have the URL, Michelle?
It's hptoyrama.com.
It's a great example of a highly dynamic, highly interactive content that enriches the brand. That's great. So, Jess, I'm going to turn to you for a minute. One of the things is, as the editor and Contagious, you've just got a fantastic catbird seat and vantage point to look at some of the world's best, most innovative marketing, and particularly wildfire and viral-type marketing and brands. Just tell me generally some of the brands that you're seeing that are doing really interesting things, and particularly if you've got a few examples that you're enamored with in Asia.
Well, I'd agree with Michelle, definitely the HP work is fantastic. I think what we're seeing definitely is a shift from people, as marketing is more part of a mix between technology-driven and design-driven and sort of genuine word-of-mouth driven brands, and marketing is the role that it can do to support and encourage that. So with HP, that Toyrama site, the design and functionality site, that people can go and create their own sort of toys and things like that to experiment with the HP brand. And this kind of benevolent creativity is something that we're seeing an awful lot all over the place. There's the people that we've invited to speak at the Engage conference are the people who are appreciating that now there's a shift between dictating the schedule for brands to actually providing something that's useful or something that's relevant or that's entertaining. And it comes back to this thing called branded utility, which is this idea of giving something back to the consumer. So we're seeing a lot of brands doing things like that. There's people like Nike doing a lot of work in that space, obviously with the Nike Plus tie-in with Apple iPod, in which you can plug your iPod Nano into a Nike Plus website and then use all your training information you can plug into a community. And by creating that service, Nike have tapped into not only to an audience that's entertained but is getting something back and will return to that site again and again. There's lots of other things going on. We're seeing brands like VW providing widgets, desktop widgets for people, useful services so they're on their fingertips and they're constantly aware of the brand. And there's all sorts of other things like British Airways doing tie-ins with Google Earth so that when you're booking your holiday, you'll be able to see exactly where that holiday will be. And when you land in your destination, you get this beautiful Google Earth map of where you're going to be. So these are the kind of wildfire brands, the ones that are driven by technology and are thinking about technology and design and word of mouth and the ways to get people coming back to you, not just because they like the marketing and they're entertained by the message, but because they're genuinely getting something out of it. And I think also we've seen with these are sort of global services. Some of the people we have speaking at Engage is companies like Albion, who are responsible for driving the online word of mouth for applications like Kazaa and like Skype and like the new peer-to-peer internet TV service Juiced, which is going to go global. It's still a closed membership at the moment, but it's going to go global within the next 2 months. And I think these brands are going to be very, very important, not only to the marketing community, but they're going to become very, very large parts of consumers' lives very quickly. And what we're seeing for the role of marketers in that thing is being able to steer those things and drive those services because they're useful. And that's a big shift for the marketing industry, but it does mean that the brands that are going to survive in this kind of new world are the ones who are useful and the ones who are benevolent with their creativity.
You know, Jess, I really like a couple of things that you said, benevolent creativity and also the idea of branded utility. And mm-hmm. I'd like to come back to those in a moment or two with a specific eye on how those manifest themselves in Asia. Give that
okay.
a think. And while you do that, I'm going to turn it over to Nick. Really nice of you to join us. And given your expertise in online advertising in Southeast Asia and your job particularly in identifying new technologies and new products, just tell us broadly, what are some of the technologies that you're seeing that are most relevant and that are beginning to spread and help brands spread their message in Asia particularly?
Yeah, I think one of the coolest technologies at the moment, which we are releasing to RTM very soon, but currently in an active beta, is Silverlight. And Silverlight is a new plugin from Microsoft for browser-based rich internet applications, and there's a couple of buzzwords there that have been used a lot in recent times. But one of the things that Silverlight does is It's going to add additional elements for content creators and also for consumers for a much richer experience on the web. So what that means is that we're going to have easier ways for developers to create that content. And when it's easy to actually create that content, of course, that means you're going to have more time to actually spend on the creativity and actually doing something really, really fantastic, excuse me. And another great thing, too, with Silverlight is that we've actually added the ability now to stream high-definition video within what is essentially a rich internet application, which is quite revolutionary. So that's one of the technologies that is available now. It's still technically in a beta, but there's a lot of companies out there that are playing with it and doing some very, very cool stuff. The other technology that I think is really hot at the moment, once again, it's one of our technologies. It's actually in technical preview at the moment, and that's called PhotoSynth. And PhotoSynth doesn't necessarily have an application straight away, but it's a very, very cool future concept where we've taken the ability to view photographs, digital photographs online, and do it in a completely different way. So instead of having a static group of 2D photos, what PhotoSynth allows you to do is analyze these 2D images and doing nothing more than just feeding them into basically a program, you can actually pull out 3D coordinates and build these 3D models from a group of static 2D photos. And what this allows you to do is to very, in an amazingly new way, interactively step through your collection of photographs and also see the relationships between the two of them. And so I think the technology there, like Silverlight, is really going to be a very, very interesting and fascinating tool for content creators out there to actually take those new pieces of technology and create something very, very compelling, both for the industry and obviously for the end user.
You know, I'd love to come back, Nick, and touch on a few of those, the applications of some of those technologies in a moment. So thank you for that. Michelle, turning back to you for a moment, I want to keep the conversation at a high level first. We'll dive down later. One thing on my mind is just the nuances and the unique characteristics of marketing in Asia. As we talk about wildfire brands, as we talk about, you know, viral ideas, can you just talk a little bit about what you think the unique characteristics are of the individual consumer in Asia that we have to pay attention to as we think about building and sustaining wildfire brands?
I think in Asia, there's a real interest in social networking. And, you know, if you look at the way that mobile phones are used in this market, I mean, they're really a way that people sort of stay in touch with each other. You know, Philippines is one of the highest used SMS markets in the world. And SMS is the way that people communicate with each other around Asia, you know, even, I would say, much more so than in the United States. So, you know, when you look at the market dynamic, how you can sort of facilitate social networking is a really big thing. And I think it's one of those reasons that, you know, something like SkyWorld, which is that really big social network service out of Korea, has been so successful because they've sort of taken social networking and really elevated it up to, you know, something that's like almost for the masses.
Absolutely. Can I just ask you a follow-on on that, Michelle?
Sure.
Is marketing in Asia a bit of a myth? Is it really still country by country and market by market, or are you beginning to see some more sub-regional or even pan-regional opportunities?
You know, but it really depends a lot on the brand. One of the issues in Asia is that you still have so many different languages and, you know, countries that are very, very unique from the country that's next to them. So, you know, you've got Vietnam, which is Vietnamese language. You've got Philippines with Tagalog and Filipino. You've got Thailand and Thai, Malaysia with Bahasa. And so, you know, there is still a tremendous amount of, you know, sort of really locally focused communication. You find even on some of the, you know, sort of bigger global brands that the tendency is to think more about a brand architecture, but to allow a lot more freedom in the local execution to really activate that architecture and to bring it to life.
Thank you for that, Michelle. I wanted to turn it back to Jess. Jess, something that you said in your opening remarks, as I said, a couple of terms that I sparked to you for sure. One of them, the idea of benevolent creativity. The other, the idea of branded utility.
Uh-huh.
And speaking of branded utility, Jess, I really value and appreciate that point. My interest is in the application of that concept in Asia specifically. Can you talk a little bit more about what you mean by utility? What individuals, consumers are looking for, and what you think the nuances and differences are specifically for the Asian market and the Asian consumer?
Well, I think, I mean, the concept of utility is it's a sort of fairly overreaching one in which, you do something useful. And it's not rocket science, but it is a big shift for marketers to be all of a sudden thinking about doing something that's going to bring genuine value to their consumers' lives beyond simple kind of entertainment. And I think one of the things that I've found particularly intriguing about the Asian application of branded utility is obviously Michelle's mentioned mobiles, and the rest of the world is looking to Asia for guidance on how to use mobiles in marketing because we're actually quite a long way behind. But I think there was a campaign for the legal launch of the Napster music download service in Japan, which really used this kind of very Asian sensibility towards mobiles, which I thought also took into account the commuting society, the way that people commute into Tokyo. And they basically had listening posts for Napster, sort of hundreds and hundreds of them, all around the stations in Tokyo and Osaka. So people could plug their headphones into these listening posts, listen to some of the songs they could download on Napster legally, and then they gave them, when they bought CDs in Tower Records, they gave them on their receipts a kind of QR code, this little mobile kind of engagement code that takes you to the mobile web, so they could snap that with their mobile phones and then download a track for free from Napster as a kind of courtesy, and obviously having identified them as people who were already interested in music. And I think the way that campaign tied across not only the way that people move geographically, but the way in which they use their mobiles for everything from music to email to all these different things that we're still quite far behind in Europe, I thought that was a very kind of like superbly executed for the Asian market. It got fantastic results for them as well. They surpassed their target of downloads by sort of twice as much. They wanted 1 million by the end of the first 2 weeks. They had 2 because this campaign had been so successful. And I think there's something else we did sort of not just mobile, but I have just thought of this. There's Motorola. It's an American brand, but the way that Motorola have branched into musical social networking in China. Michelle said that there's a big appeal for social networks in the Asian market, but the way that which Motorola launched their motorola.com.cn, which is their music networking site, and the way that they constructed microsites around it using popular popular artists, and they got people feeding in their preferences and feeding in the content that they wanted to see into this kind of central hub of music for download in China, and that means that Motorola gets to own the concept of music download in China, which is an extraordinary thing. And also by constructing a community around that music download, you're all of a sudden bringing these people together in ways that they might not have been done before, which is a wonderful thing for a brand to be associated with. So I think those are kind of two examples of the ways in which sort of a specifically Asian sensibility and Asian preference for the ways of communication can be developed for brands. But there's one more, and this is a Singaporean brand that just to get back to this benevolent creativity thing that we were talking about earlier. I'm absolutely, we're sort of slightly in love at the moment with, there's a Singaporean toy company called Stickfast, which develops, it's kind of, they're little figurines and they're kind of collectible figurines, but they go one step further than the sort of normal, just non-playable collectibles. They're very, you snap them together and they can be posed and you can do all sorts of things with them. And Stickfast, through a kind of smart attitude to design and a very benevolent attitude to creativity, has encouraged people to make their own user-generated films, sort of stop-motion films of these figurines doing little different things. And there's hundreds of them on YouTube of people uploading these things because they're playing with their little Stickfast figurines, and it encourages genuine sort of enthusiasm in user-generated content for these films. And also, because of this, they're Stickfast, like Singaporean company, started in someone's front room in Singapore, all of a sudden about to go global, really catching the attention of the world. And they're in talks at the moment with Pixar, the Disney studio Pixar, because these things are so moldable and so malleable and so popular that Pixar are using them to block out scenes that they do before they animate the computer graphics. And that's a real example of an Asian brand through some smart thinking and some real encouragement of word of mouth and some real benevolence for their creativity. They just encourage you to do what you want with their product and spread the word out there. That's a great example of an Asian brand harnessing all these new principles of marketing to really get their message to a more global perspective.
That sounds like, Jess, about the best example of a wildfire brand, an idea that spreads and sells from the front room, someone's front room in Singapore, to a global brand and deal with Pixar is fantastic.
That's exactly that.
And Michelle, just jump in for a second. I want to ask you a question about consumer adoption of technologies. You mentioned a few examples. One of the things I'm particularly curious about are the markets that seem to be ahead in terms of technology, given infrastructure and 3G networks, Japan and Korea particularly. I think you said you actually happen to be in Japan at the moment. Are you seeing technology adoption at a faster rate, obviously in Japan or Korea, than you might see in some other Asian markets? And which markets do you think are going to be next in line?
I think we're seeing technology adoption really fast across the entire region. It's just that it's sort of being adopted sort of at different levels. Japan and Korea were already so far advanced in terms of technology that, I mean, they've really been leading, you know, the way in terms of how they're taking mobile technology forward on the phones, in terms of using your phones to pay for things now at the vending machines. As Jess was mentioning, you know, when you can snap a little shot of that code and then immediately download stuff from the internet. And also, you know, in Korea now where, you know, you can do a lot of live streaming of TV shows right onto your cell phone. So, I mean, they're really at the far end. But if you look to China or you look to India, I mean, these are countries where, you know, even 2-3 years ago, I mean, you couldn't get a telephone, you couldn't get a landline without waiting for, you know, 5, 6, 7 years. And what's happening is people are adopting the cell phone technology. And rather than just buying, you know, sort of the cheapest cell phone that's available, I mean, they want a cell phone that's got an MP3 player, that has a camera in it, that's really multifunctional. And I think, you know, the biggest, maybe just a barrier within Asia is just the fact that there are still different, you know, Japan's mobile system is closed, Korea's mobile system is closed. You know, it's just not a completely integrated system. And I think that's one of the things that sort of is preventing this even freer flow of information. But, you know, we see the sort of desire to use technology and to just get at it to be really strong across the entire region. And people aren't scared of it. You know, Jess was mentioning that, you know, for example, in Europe, you know, SMS is something that's still not as strongly adapted as it is out in Asia. But you go across Asia and the way people are using technology to connect and to, you know, in the Philippines, you do banking transactions. Most of the, a huge amount of banking transactions is now done using mobile phones because you've got people out in rural communities. It takes 2 or 3 hours to go into the town where the bank is. And it's literally set up so that you can do your deposits, you can do withdrawals, you can do payments, everything through a mobile phone. So what's interesting is the way that the technology sort of gets adapted in a very local way, in a way that's very appropriate for the culture, and then, you know, sort of to meet those needs that people have.
That's great, Michelle. Thank you for that. So, Nick, you talked a little bit about technologies like Photosynth and Silverlife. Tell me a little bit more about how you expect marketers to use those technologies as they work to engage people and be more specific and more useful in their marketing.
Yeah, well, I think what's really exciting for us is that these are new technologies. And I think, you know, Asia is a very vibrant region. And what we, you know, really, really excited about, you know, conferences like Engage and getting together with really creative people is to seeing how they can actually use these tools. You know, Silverlight is a relatively new technology. You know, it's adding on to some of the features that are already available. But one of the things that it really does very well on the back end is it makes it much easier for developers to create these really, really rich internet applications. Silverlight, Silverlight, not to be confused with Silverlife, a very similar but also very different. We've added support for VC1 high definition video as well. So if you're a marketer and you're looking at including video moving images, and high definition is now an option for you. So I think we're really excited to see how these technologies are going to be used and what kind of creative examples will come out of regions like Asia that have been doing some fantastic stuff.
I'm really engaged by the conversation. We're going to come right back. We've got to take a quick break. Don't go away. We've got plenty more. We're talking about marketing in Asia.
Market Square, presented by Leo Burnett Worldwide.
We'll be back after this short break.
For the last decade, millions of visitors seeking top ranking have visited their site. When it comes to the internet marketing expertise, one name clearly stands above the rest. Bruce Clay Incorporated. With a flexible, time-tested, and spam-free process to SEO and PPC, Bruce Clay has become the number one choice for companies of all kinds seeking to improve their search engine ranking. Utilize their latest tools, training, consulting, and services. Let Bruce Clay create a tailored solution to meet your internet marketing needs today. Bruce Clay Incorporated.
Want traffic? For results without hassle, look no further than Search Ad Network. Focused on your core goals, our dedicated account management team will drive your online sales, increase brand recognition, and generate leads for offline sales through expert search engine marketing and technology. In addition, Search Ad Network offers free click fraud detection and API access into all major engines to ensure your business reaches their desired ROI. Visit searchadnetwork.com today to experience true profit through performance.
Now, experience the future of web design and development with a whole new level of efficiency, expressiveness, and simplified workflow. Introducing Studio 8, a compilation of the latest releases from Dreamweaver, Flash Professional, Fireworks, Contribute, and Flashpaper. Sure to inspire you to create superior online video sites and mobile content. And now, through this exclusive WebmasterRadio.fm offer, listeners can save a whopping $100 off Studio 8. Visit the online store at Adobe.com or contact Adobe Customer Services and provide promo code Webmaster Radio in order to receive your discount. Studio 8, your way to create.
It's time to do your thing, affiliate thing.
I saw that the FTC came down with some ruling on affiliate marketing. What happened with the FTC?
If an affiliate refers traffic to a merchant, a merchant can't market that customer without permission. They wouldn't have their contact information unless the person became a customer. They're asking permission to market to them in the future during that process.
Affiliate thing.
Dig it.
Live broadcast Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the Affiliate Marketing Channel. Only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Get clicked, covered, and rained on all week long on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Your destination
for education and entertainment.
WebmasterRadio.fm.
We're everywhere.
Now back to
Market Square, presented by Leo Burnett Worldwide.
Only on WebmasterRadio.fm. Here's your host.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Mark Landsberg. I am the president of ARC Worldwide and the head corporate strategist for Leo Burnett Worldwide. We're here talking about wildfire brands, how ideas spread and sell, and particularly marketing in Asia. And we have a couple great guests with us, Michelle Cristella-Green, who's the president of Leo Burnett in Asia Pacific. We've got Jess Greenwood, who's the deputy editor of Contagious Magazine, and Nick Fillingham, who's enthusiast evangelist from Microsoft Southeast Asia. Welcome back.
Nick, we've been talking a lot about the upcoming conference, Engage, a wildfire event in the end of September in Singapore, and we're really happy that you'll be presenting. Can you give us a little bit of a sneak peek of what you'll be talking about at the conference?
Yeah, I'll actually be presenting with some other colleagues from the MSN Asia business. I'm actually going to talk about the products. I'm going to talk about two products in specifically, which we have talked about already on the call, which is Silverlight, which is our new plug-in for browser-based rich internet applications, and talk a little bit about how you can actually use Silverlight and what you can do with it, and how much easier it is now to really go about and create the next Web 2.0 internet app. I'm also going to talk about Photosynth. And Photosynth is a product which is really a technology that we have in beta. It's not actually released as a consumable product, but it's a fantastic example of how we're innovating in the space of photo viewing and the way that we're finding relationships between graphical imagery. And it's not yet a product that can be implemented into an advertising campaign or a marketing campaign, but it will hopefully turn into something that can be consumed very soon. And I think what's really interesting is to get people's creative juices flowing and to have a think about how these new advances and these new innovations in how people can consume digital imagery and, you know, 2D images, and how that's now blending into a kind of a 3D and virtual environment. That's really exciting for us. So that's some of the things we're going to be showing. You know, I'll talk about the technology and some of the products, and some colleagues from the MSN business will talk about kind of our strategy in Asia and how we're implementing that. And I think between that, we should see a lot of light bulbs going off in the audience of people coming up with some ideas and thinking about how the industry is going to be moving forward when we implement these new technologies.
Nick, since we've been talking a lot about technology and the role that technology plays in building and shaping wildfire brands and consumers' adoption of technology to make marketing most effective, and given now that technology is increasingly shaping creative ideas as well, do you think there's an increased need for companies such as MSN to look to create creative ideas and content development expressions and give people more opportunities to actually build their thinking and their ideas?
Yeah, definitely, and I think the you know, what's important for us, Microsoft, at least from a technology perspective, is to work very hard in making sure that the technology is accessible to the consumer and that it's easy for the developer and the creative people on the other side of the fence to actually use. And so that's where we kind of focus purely on the technology side. That's where we focus our attention. We make sure that we were creating, you know, innovative and really amazing products that the consumers can obviously, you know, have something new and different and vibrant, and with the abilities to scale. Obviously, and to try some new kind of techniques. Then on the other end, we have to make sure that the actual creative people out there that are actually building these tools, I'm sorry, that are actually building these campaigns and you know, the next you know, Web 2.0 internet application or Web 3.0, we're making sure that it's actually, you know, it's easy for them to do that, or easier for them to do it. So the challenge for us is to create, you know, sets of tools and to create products and platforms that are going to be able to have the ability to provide these really rich experiences to the end user. And then also on the back end to make sure that they're accessible to the developers and they actually have the features that the developers need. And we're implementing smart things like XML into Silverlight so that the developers will be able to kind of use .NET technologies to be able to develop these rich internet applications very easily. So I think that's very, very important in the way that technology can kind of help shape creative ideas, and then vice versa. Obviously, once the creative agencies and the creative people out there take the technology and start to build these fantastic examples, we can actually see how the two can kind of help each other. The creative people can kind of give feedback back to the technology saying, this is where we think it's going in the future, and then we can incorporate that into our tools, and then vice versa. So it's a kind of a give on both sides, and I think the synergy there is great, and I think we're going to see more of that in the future, in that the creative people will help fuel the development, the innovation of technologies, and vice versa.
Jess, I wanted to turn to you and talk a little bit more about something you said in terms of some of the examples that you provided, particularly as you were talking about ideas that are coming out of Asia and spreading around the world. Are there things that are unique to the individual in Asia that create more viral brands, more propensity for an idea to spread and sell? Are there characteristics about the Asian consumer that are either make it easier for ideas to be shared in communities or a little bit harder given degrees of privacy and discretion? What's your view on that?
I think that's a really good question. I think, sorry to keep coming back to this, but I think the sort of best answer to that is the way that people use their mobiles, the way that the Asian population uses their mobiles for a larger degree of services than we would tend to in Europe. So the notion of viral transmission, the fact that I think it's Korean teenagers, there's a great statistic that I can't remember the source of it, so don't quote me, but it's Korean teenagers are downloading something like 16 minutes of short-form video to their mobile phones every day. So you have all of a sudden the fact that the Korean teenagers are very kind of, it's a very work-oriented society. Success in school is very highly valued. Respect for your family is very highly valued. So they're looking to their mobile phones as a source of entertainment, which maybe teenagers in Europe aren't doing so much. So basically, I think it was a very interesting idea that a marketer could use that notion of entertainment and the fact that they share things between friends very, very quickly through their mobile phones as a sort of great starting off point for a really kind of community-led drive there. I think the other thing, there's in terms of viral transmission of ideas, I think in terms of broadband penetration, I know that the way in which broadband is used during people's working days in Europe and America is a little more conducive, I think, to the transmission of ideas over the internet. So basically, if you put a funny piece of film online, or if you start with... if you construct an engaging, interactive online experience that involves quite a sort of heavy time investment from the consumer, I suspect that there are certain, I mean, and also the way that the working hours are structured in the USA particularly and the UK means that people are spending more and more and more time in their offices now. So those kind of experiences tend to be played out, I think, very well in the US and Europe, the UK, whereas I'm not sure whether they would fly quite as well in Asia. But in terms, I think there's a genuine human instinct, rather than distinguishing too much between sort of Asian and Western audiences, I think there is a genuine human instinct to want to pass things on, so long as they genuinely resonate with you. And I don't think that there's a cultural barrier to the sharing of that resonation in Asian communities. I think basically marketers just need to think very, very carefully about what it is that's going to strike that chord. So maybe if it's not been as advanced in terms of sharing viral things on the internet or websites and things like that, maybe if it's not quite as up to speed with the US and UK online in that way, maybe it's just that we're still thinking about the best ways in which to strike a chord with a specifically Asian audience and get them sending their messages on.
Absolutely. I like the distinction there. It said there's global interest in passing content along. There's global interest in sharing. There are obviously subtle market-specific differences, but the simple fact is when you find something good or something compelling, the instinct for sure is to share it. Michelle, let me turn back to you for a minute and just talk a little bit about the work that you're doing in the region and Leo Burnett's perspective. As an agency, how is Leo Burnett partnering with the likes of Microsoft and Contagious and looking at new technologies in order to bring really innovative, really human-centered solutions to our clients?
Actually, one of the ways that we're partnering with Contagious is in this conference, Engage 2007, that we're putting on together with, Contagious. And the reason we're doing that is because actually when you look at marketing in Asia, to a great extent, it's still very traditional. So there's a lot of really new and exciting stuff that's going on here. And yet at the same time, when you look at the broad swath of marketers, because TV is still relatively affordable, because, people still seem to, be watching it, there's a real tendency to still default to traditional media. So one of the things that we want to do is to really make people much more aware, make our clients much more aware of technologies like PhotoSynth out there, or of, things like we were talking before about branded utility, so that when they are putting a website together, such as HP did for Toyrama, they're really thinking about not just sort of what's in it for the brand, but what's in it for the consumer, and how does the person who's on that website, really sort of get something back and enjoy it. So, we are not in any big partnerships with any of these companies, with like an NSN yet. But what we want people to be is completely aware of what's out there, so that if there is the right opportunity, we know who to go to and we know who to be working with.
Absolutely. One of the things I want to talk a little bit about now is we've talked a lot about technologies and online ability to spread ideas and move them across geographies globally. Jess, I wanted to ask you, moving a little bit offline now, in Asia, maybe let's use China as an example. Can you think of areas where wildfire brands, the idea about ideas that spread and sell and catch people's interest, are happening in the physical world? I was just in Shanghai not long ago and really realizing that still in many markets, very sophisticated use of digital technologies in marketing is still somewhat early days, but that doesn't in any way mean that brand ideas are still not being spread and shared with equal passion. So maybe, a market like China, are there examples that you can think of where it's a little bit less about online technology and a little bit more about the old-fashioned way of getting an idea spread?
I think I can think of some. There's China's quite an interesting one because there's a very growing distinction, I think, between people who can buy into the very sheeny sort of westernized brand ideal and the people who don't, basically, and the majority of China's population are the people who don't. And I can think of a couple of examples. I can't remember the exact name of the detergent, but I remember when a detergent was sort of rebranded, they appreciated there was a definite aspirational feeling towards this very kind of high-end washing powder sort of thing, quite, you know, sort of nicely fragranced, nicely done sort of thing. So rather than putting a load of money into sort of making people want to, like, buy the sort of big boxes of these things and, you know, sort of making it was still sort of very much out of their reach. And I think what they appreciated as a brand was rather than trying to encourage people to buy these sort of huge quantities of these things, what they did is they just repackaged it in a much, much smaller bottle. And loads of people bought it. And it was one of those things that just by making it accessible through something like, I mean, that's as basic as it gets, making something accessible by making it smaller for them and making it, so there's definitely that aspiration towards branded ideas. But they,
The whole idea of a sachet marketing, P&G has taken a lead role in that. And as you said, the more accessible it is, the more likely it is to provide utility and as a result be positively talked about. And there's a great example, Michelle, in Australia, Earth Hour, one of the things that we will be talking about at Engage conference in Singapore end of September is the Earth Hour example, which had such a great both utility, relevance, weaving its way into social fabric, really became a wildfire idea, and it was using both innovative technology as well as good old-fashioned word of mouth. Can you just talk a little bit for our audience about Earth Hour and how it really manifests itself as a great wildfire brand?
Well, I think, you know, the thing behind Earth Hour was a discussion with the WWF about the global warming problem, which actually took place about 9 months ago. The fact that this is now such a hot subject was completely coincidental. And the decision was, you know, that, and Australia has been undergoing some amazing drought for the last year. And so the decision was to really bring this to people's attention and that, you know, that we need, each individual can do something to lessen greenhouse gas emissions and that, you know, even one person can make a difference. And so the challenge was to get all the Sydney residents to turn out their lights for 1 hour. And what happened on March 31st was over 2.2 million Sydney residents did do that. And we also got 2,000 brands to participate. So, you know, McDonald's turned out all of their golden arches. Coca-Cola turned off its big signs. The hotels turned off their lights. The Sydney Opera House went dark. The bridge went dark. And it was, I think, a perfect example of wildfire thinking where you basically partnered not only with the WWF, but the City of Sydney, Fairfax Media, the Sydney Morning Herald, and really made this a campaign that was all about how do we do something to really raise awareness about a very, very serious problem. But then it did take on a life of its own. I mean, there were over 500 blogs on this. There were, you know, everyone was loading pictures up to YouTube. You know, there were some people who even, you know, had a wedding on that night. And Earth Hour is something that there are now discussions with cities outside of Australia to see if they can take it global. So I think, you know, that's, you know, when we really talk about a wildfire brand, you know, it's a brand which is, or a wildfire idea, which is just starting from a really core idea that has some sort of foundation in sort of humanity and what's important to people and somehow gives back at the same time. And then because it is so relevant, it's picked up by other people around the world.
We're talking about wildfire brands and marketing in Asia. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Market Square, presented by Leo Burnett Worldwide.
We'll be back after this short break.
Ooh. Mr. Scott, I can't get any more information onto our website.
I'm doing the best I can, Captain. There's no more room on the server. It's gonna blow.
Evaluation, Mr. Spock.
The logical answer is Lunar Pages. Reputation, reliability, and legendary 24/7 support makes Lunar Pages the host to cling on to.
Did you say Klingon?
Aye, Captain. Sign up at lunarpages.com and get $700 off coffee cup software absolutely free. If you call, they will answer.
Lunar Pages it is. Beam us aboard, Mr. Scott.
For out-of-this-world web hosting, Lunar rocks.
Sign up for web hosting with lunarpages.com and use coupon code LUNATICS to get $28 off.
Are your ads managing you? Tired of click fraud and little or no ROI on your pay-per-click search ads? Take control. Reduce your costs and gain valuable traffic with effective flat-fee featured listings on over 245 search engines and web directories. From the ISEDN.org, the Independent Search Engine and Directory Network. Now free yourself from click fraud, bidding, and hassles with low-cost top 10 exposure for less than $4 a month from ISEDN. So visit ISEDN.org today. And discover how easy it is maximizing your company's online revenue stream with affordable search engine and directory flat fee ads from the isedn.org.
Become a Webmaster Radio VIP member for only 99 cents a day and enjoy access to all the newest and coolest features on the webmasterradio.fm website. With our VIP membership, you'll have exclusive access to over 1,000 episodes of Webmaster Radio programming. So what are you waiting for? Sign up and become a VIP member today. It's fast, it's easy, and it's convenient. WebmasterRadio.fm. We're everywhere.
Want a hot pod? Load it with WebmasterRadio.fm and play with us all day long.
WebmasterRadio.fm. We're everywhere.
Now back to
Market Square, presented by Leo Burnett Worldwide.
Only on WebmasterRadio.fm. Here's your host.
Welcome back. I'm Mark Landsberg, the president of ARC Worldwide and head of corporate strategy for Leo Burnett Worldwide. We're talking about wildfire brands, brand ideas that spread and sell, with a particular focus on marketing in Asia. And joining me are Michelle Cristella-Green, the president of Leo Burnett Asia Pacific, Jess Greenwood, who's the deputy editor of Contagious Magazine, and Nick Fillingham, enthusiast evangelist from Microsoft Southeast Asia. Jess, I wanted to come back to you on something that you'd said a little bit earlier, which was characteristics of success in an idea that spreads and sells. We've talked a lot about the technologies and the tools. We've talked about consumer adoption. Let's talk about the flip side. Have you seen any examples of ideas that were actually designed to be, you know, viral, if you will, and failed miserably? And, you know, along those lines, what are the characteristics that you've seen, given your global perspective of, you know, what makes for a successful wildfire brand?
I think, without sort of naming and shaming too much in response to this question, it happens. Honestly, it happens all the time. It really does. I think there's a genuine appreciation. We're on a bit of a tipping point of view, excuse the cliche, for the marketing industry at the moment, because there's a genuine appreciation of the fact that there has to be a shift more towards engaging ideas and more towards kind of pulling the consumer in rather than pushing messages out at them. And that's a very, very positive realization. However, it's a time of great experimentation. So some things are obviously going to work and some things aren't. I mean, there's classic examples happening all the time, I think, where by which things like the blogosphere or people are attempting to exploit the way in which information moves on the blogosphere to spread branded messages. And if you do that in a smart and transparent way, then you can do it incredibly well. However, I mean, there was an example of Walmart, which is a big, obviously everybody's aware of Walmart, big American supermarket chain, attempting to construct a blog that had a pair of journalists driving around America in a van, existing on products bought from Walmart, staying in their van in Walmart car parks, and blogging all the time about how great Walmart was and everything. And the thing is, as a marketing exercise, if you're honest about what you're doing, then that's fine, fair enough. However, they decided to try and spin this as a genuine experiment by these people and deny the fact that they were being paid by Walmart to say this stuff. And that's the sort of stuff that goes down very, very badly, because the way in which information now moves on the internet means that everything from your marketing messages to your corporate ethics to your customer services, everything is now on display, and there's no way you can hide. Because if you annoy one blogger with a good audience, then all of a sudden you've annoyed the rest of his consumers and you've allowed him to spread that message of irritation to a lot more people. So I think basically if I was going to say one thing about it, it would be honesty. The more honest you are about these things, the more likely you are to be respected for it. And I think there's another thing. We've seen a couple of brands recently who will remain nameless co-opting various forms of user-generated sort of free-form creativity that people have come up with themselves, posted on YouTube, posted on their MySpace pages, distributed through Facebook, all these different things that people have been genuinely proud of. And we've seen brands co-opting that creativity almost frame for frame and then denying that they've ever seen the original. And that's the same thing again. It's so common sense. If you're honest about it and you claim it as a tribute, it's a wonderful PR angle, and you get a lot more mileage out of that campaign. If you're sort of underhand about it and you decide to try and claim that as your own creative and you decide to try and own it without acknowledging the source of your creativity, then you will, one, be found out, two, be treated very negatively by the people who know about it, and three, cause all sorts of the wrong kind of PR storm. So I think that's the kind of honesty is the absolute key. And also, if I had one bit of advice for brands who were kind of trying to navigate this sort of information exchange, then it would be, it's very, very simple. Just sort of all the time, put your name into the search engines, put your brand into MSN, just find out what people are saying about you. Look at Technorati, look at Dig, look at the blogs. And that's a very, very good way of monitoring the ways in which you're being discussed. And I think that there is one thing that people aren't doing enough in this tipping point, and something that could move it on a lot more quickly, is just having a genuine interest in how their brands are viewed online.
I think it's interesting you mentioned, Jess, just go to Dig or Technorati. These are mm-hmm. sites that aggregate blogs and or allow people to tag content. And you know, it's also interesting to do it on a personal basis. You can go ahead and, you know, put your name in. I was speaking at a conference not long ago, and by the time I got back to the office, there were 20 blog lines about what I had said, good and bad. So there's no hiding anymore, either corporately, brand-wise, or individual. Michelle and Jess have given us ideas about their thoughts for the future. Nick, can you give us one or two ideas that people should be thinking about to keep in mind when marketing in Asia? What are one or two trends or technologies down the track that you think we should really be paying attention to?
Yeah, well, I think really now that with the release of Silverlight, that the ability to create these rich internet applications, a bit of a buzzword, you know, that used to be quite a scary term. A rich internet application was something that was very difficult to create. You needed a lot of developers. They needed to be very, very smart. You still need to have smart people on your teams, but creating rich internet applications using Silverlight is now much, much easier than perhaps people and developers would have thought in the past. So I think, you know, one of the things I would say is, you know, to think about rich internet applications and to think about Silverlight as a tool to help you build those, because it is it's probably easier than you know, developers and creative agencies out there would think about. And a rich internet application is great because it can give you the ability to add multiple multimedia elements, plus the ability to interact with the consumer and, you know, feed data from them as well as feeding data out. So that's probably one thing to think of, and we'll show that at the Engage conference. You know, we'll talk about Silverlight and how it can be implemented. The second thing then I think would be just the MSN business in general, and I think, you know, there are a lot of amazing services that now are included under the MSN umbrella. You know, now that they have access to, you know, mail and the MSN homepage and then the actual ad services. And what we're seeing as well is that the MSN business are increasingly taking two or more of their own services and looking at ways of mashing them together and packaging them in actual different ways. And we'll definitely be talking about them at Engage in more detail. And I think it's going to be a very cool conference.
Michelle, I'm just a general question. You've been in and around Asia for many, many years, and you've lived and worked across many markets, across you know, dozens and dozens of corporate brands. How have you seen marketing in Asia change over the last 20 years? You know, starting from, you know, when you first were in the region till today, are there some major shifts that you've seen in marketing and the approach to marketing?
I think it's becoming a lot more sophisticated. It's just It's extremely competitive out in Asia. You know, it's a real, almost like retail mindset. It's about getting the sales today. And I think, you know, what we're seeing now is that, and also you had really big gaps in product quality 20 years ago. I mean, you had some really good products, you had some really bad products. But you've really got less differentiation between products now. And I think that's one of the reasons that marketers are now going, you know, it's not enough to just sort of, you know, do a whole bunch of TV media and throw it out there and sort of yell your brand name. You know, you've got to begin to find ways to build those connections with consumers. And so, you know, I think we're starting to see a much more interest in sort of getting much deeper into marketing. And I think part of what's also driven that is that you've had a lot of multinational companies now that have been out here, you know, marketing their brands, you know, really seriously for the last 20, 30 years. And so there's a whole generation that's sort of been trained in Western marketing and that has, you know, moved on into local companies. And, you know, Asia was a very closed country or closed area 20 years ago. Many, you couldn't travel freely between countries. You frequently had to get permission in order to leave your country to travel. But now, basically, you know, people travel anywhere. You know, you don't have to get permission to leave the majority of the countries in Asia. People are traveling around the world. There's a much, much more global perspective than it used to, than there used to be. And also, the Internet has just opened up the world. So even in China, you go out into the most, you know, rural areas of China, people have access to the Internet. They know what's going on outside of China, and especially when it comes to brands and to products and to sort of, you know, life. I mean, they might, the Internet can be quite restricted in a number of markets on the political side. But on the sort of consumption side, everything's available. And so you just have this worldly view and this sophistication that didn't exist 20 years ago. And I think that's one of the biggest changes in Asia. It's not looking inwards. It's really looking outwards now. And now the other thing I would say is that, you know, there wasn't the confidence 20 years ago. You know, it was sort of about imitating and copying and not necessarily creating. But once again, as people have just, you know, gotten more worldly, they've traveled, you know, gotten educations overseas, there's a lot more confidence in terms of just sort of wanting to be Asian and expressing that in a very fresh way, which is why I think we see a lot happening in terms of, like, the talent in the singing industry, where you've got, you know, actresses and directors from Asia who are becoming, you know, very well known in the West. So, you know, if you could say that before, it was all about what was coming in from Asia, but I think we're going to see, we see now is a lot more coming out from Asia.
There's no doubt about that. There's so much happening. I mean, the world is looking to Asia for innovations in technologies and smart marketing, and it's fantastic to see. And we'll be talking about a lot of these topics at the conference coming up in Singapore, September 26 and 27, Engage, a wildfire event, talking about wildfire brands. And, Jess, I just, you know, maybe give you a chance to just tell the audience a little bit about who should attend Engage and why.
Well, basically, I think Engage is who the people that we brought together have done a sort of, they're a very good representation of the people steering all these changes that we've touched on today. We've got people from the Hyper Factory who are sort of absolutely serving more and more successful mobile campaigns, mobile advertising campaigns than any other company in the world. We've got Stickfest, the toy brand that we talked about, their founder coming to explain to us how he pushed this kind of little product into a global line of sight. We've got people talking about how brands can be design-led, how if you put some smart product design into there and then you manage to spread that smart product design through the Internet, all of a sudden you have a wildfire brand. And people talking about branded utility. We've got the guys from Albion who steer online word of mouth for these amazing new technology applications, explaining how you can create a wildfire brand. Anything that you think that has just been spread through peer-to-peer recommendation, quite often there's sort of an evil genius in the background steering it, and quite often it's them. So there's basically, I think, that it's quite, yeah, they're quite interesting people to talk to. So I think one of the things that we basically feel Engage is there for is the advertising industry is very, very complex now. It's all of a sudden, far from being this very, very linear structure where you would get your brief and you'd write your TV commercial, then you'd film your TV commercial, and then you'd see it on air. All of a sudden, the touch points that we can reach people through are just absolutely splintering all over the place. There's audiences all over the place. There is a genuine enthusiasm for branded advertising content, so long as it's well-targeted and so long as it's useful or it's relevant or it's entertaining. So I think anybody who's basically looking to make sense of this splintering, but also, just as importantly, to be really, really excited by it, should come along to Engage, because the more complicated and the more exciting and the more kind of the more opportunities there are, the more we should be enthused by that as marketers rather than terrified. So I think it's basically, Engage is an idea, it's half explanatory and half as inspiration. So anybody from the client side to the digital side to the agency side who's looking to be both inspired and informed should be coming along.
That's fantastic. Well, I certainly will be sure to be there, and I hope to be inspired, entertained, and hopefully even a little bit scared of some of the things that I see. Let me just finish up by asking both of you a general question in terms of either trends or tools or technologies or consumer insights that you're seeing that you think will continue to shape smart marketing in Asia, that will continue to help us build wildfire brands. Are there one or two things, Jess, I'll start with you, and then Michelle, that you'd like to point the audience to just either go to the website and check out or keep in mind as they look at marketing in Asia down the track? Why don't I start with you, Jess?
Well, I think if I had one thing to say from a European perspective, and something that's spreading like wildfire, and I know that this particular brand, they have Asia set very firmly in their sights, is a social network called Facebook, which started as a college network in the US and is now growing. It's up to 32 million members and is growing by 150,000 people every day. So it's a huge network. It's very kind of clean, very linear. It's a great way to connect with people. And the thing that I think Facebook is important to know about, I think everybody working marketing should have a Facebook page, because not only is it very clean, not only is it very linear, not only is it very appealing, and not only is it very popular, but also Facebook have allowed themselves to be thrown open to these things called widgets, which are little applications, little gizmos that do things from kind of recommending films that you like to your friends, to telling you the time and date, to sort of telling people what books you've been reading, or sort of saying who your celebrity lookalikes are. There is a huge network now of amateur developers feeding these widgets into Facebook, and Facebook are allowing people to embed those into their pages. So it's a huge personalization strategy. It means that while MySpace's membership is actually going quite down quite rapidly because they refuse to allow widgets, Facebook's is on the up. And I think it's a very key thing when you can see there are VCs in Silicon Valley right now asking their clients, what's your Facebook strategy? Because it's been considered such a long-term and such a key part of our existences. It's basically all the best bits about social networking. And the minute that brands figure out a smart way to use Facebook and the way that it works in this very tentacular fashion, I think it's going to be the sort of holy grail of marketing. So that's something that I would definitely say to keep an eye on, that and the development of bespoke and individual widgets.
Well, in fact, Jess, what I'll do, I'll go to my Facebook page and friend you right away.
Oh, do it. That would be lovely.
And Michelle, how about you? What are one or two things that you'd point our audience to just to keep in mind and consider as we look at marketing in Asia down the track?
As I look at marketing in Asia down the track, I would tell people to look at the way that mobile technology is going to empower people, not only in the big urban cities like Mumbai or Delhi or Beijing. It's going to empower people who are middle income and lower income. And you can already see it happening now in politics, especially where with Thaksin, the Thai prime minister, there have been huge protests in Thailand. And the way these protests have like sort of been pulled together is by people SMSing each other. Same thing happened in Philippines, and it's one of the biggest worries of the Chinese government is how do they control mobile technology, and how do they, you know, actually maybe get control so that they know what people are doing and where they are. And I think that what we're going to see is a lot happening because of the way that cell phones are empowering people, all the way down the economic pyramid.
You know, I really appreciate that point because everything is moving mobile. People often ask mm-hmm. me what the future of interactive marketing is, and I say two words, mobile and local, and the point is very well taken, Michelle. That pretty much brings us to the end of today's show. I really appreciate your participation. We've been talking about marketing in Asia and specifically Wildfire Brands. Thanks to everyone for joining us. Michelle Christella Green, president of Leo Burnett Asia Pacific, Jess Greenwood, deputy editor of Contagious Magazine, and Nick Fillingham, evangelist enthusiast for Microsoft Southeast Asia. Please make sure, if you want to dive into these topics more deeply, to join us at Engage, a Wildfire event in Singapore, September 26 and 27, or visit the website at engage2007.com for more information. Absolutely feel free to email me questions on any of the topics we've discussed today. Again, I'm Mark Landsberg, president of ARC Worldwide and the head of corporate strategy for Leo Burnett Worldwide. And you can email me at mark.landsberg@arcww.com, mark.landsberg@arcww.com. Again, thanks to everyone for joining us. And until next time, so long.